You know that you're a generational chain breaker. You're ready to liberate yourself from past limitations and perspectives to manifest and quantum leap into your highest potential on your highest timeline. But sometimes you need a little support on your journey. If you're ready to live an abundant life, grounded and secure in your body and in the real world, join us here to expand your perspective and learn new tools. I'm your host, Becky Royts, a Reiki master, author, healing hairstylist, and life coach, and this is the Everyday Healing Podcast. Hello, babes, and welcome back to today's episode of Everyday Healing. Our topics today are sobriety, self-worth, and success, and I have a beautiful guest on. Her name is Michelle Savage, and she is going to be sharing her journey of healing and entrepreneurship. Michelle Savage is a mindset and nervous system regulation coach who helps ambitious women rewire their beliefs, regulate their bodies, and feel safe creating the wealth and life they dream of. After her own journey of recovery, Michelle has turned her story into a mission, showing women what's possible when you heal at the root using biology, neuroscience, and spirituality, and step fully and unapologetically into your power. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh no, thank you. I'm so excited about this.
I would really love for you to share some of your story about what led you to who you are today and the work that you do, even that like I'm done moment that really shifted things for you.
Okay. Wow. This is quite a story. So I am a recovered alcoholic. In August, I celebrated 11 years. I tried to get sober several times, and at one point I had 9 months sober, and then I relapsed, and I just completely gave up on getting sober. I was like, you're drunk. This is how you're going to die. This is it. It doesn't get any better than this. So I was living with my mom and her husband, who also was an alcoholic, and a series of events, my Grammy, who pretty much raised me, and my dad both passed away within like a 3-month span. And I just went downhill fast. And if I'm being 100% honest, something was not right my whole life. I suffered from anxiety, self-doubt, insecurity. I was the type that would lay awake at night and replay every conversation I had that day, everything I did that day, and criticize myself and just obsessively. And so I was living with my mom and her husband, and he was, you know, pretty verbally and emotionally abusive, but it was perfect for an alcoholic because you seek out those environments that keep you, you know, in your sickness. So he finally just decided, that's it. You can either go to a homeless shelter or you can go to treatment again. And he was like, you decide, but you're going today.
Wow.
So I knew that I would never survive in a homeless shelter. I'm just not built like that. It wouldn't work. So as much as I wanted to die, there was still a part of me that was trying to survive. So chose treatment, and I figured this will buy me a little bit of time to figure out where I'm going to go next. I had no intention of getting sober. I just needed some time to figure out what to do next. So I went back to the same treatment facility that I had been at before. No expectations, no goals, no nothing. And just went through the program. And something shifted this time. I had no fight left, and I wasn't trying to get sober. I wasn't hoping for something. I wasn't expecting some big goal at the end. And it just clicked. It just all clicked. We had a yoga teacher that would come in and volunteer her services. So I was introduced to yoga, and I had already started some supplements trying to kind of improve my health. So that was a part of it. And it just shifted this time. This time was different. It was, I think, my third time trying to get sober. So Went through the program. Things started happening for me. Was able to find a place, a sober living place to go. And I had no money, but I was able to get a scholarship to get into the sober living until I could get a job and pay. And I just was so grateful. I was constantly in a state of gratitude, and I kept everything. I would see little signs everywhere and little things, you know, to be grateful for. And it was just this immense gratitude and just putting one foot in front of the other and doing what I was supposed to do that day, just focusing on what I was supposed to do. And that's when everything started opening up for me. I reconnected with somebody I had known through a previous stint, and he is now my husband.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he celebrated 11 years 2 months before I did. So, you know, everything just started opening up for me. I ended up working at the treatment facility and becoming the director of volunteer programs. And it all worked out better than I ever could have imagined. We had my amazing daughter who is so fearless and so fierce and so smart and funny. And she's just one of those people that is absolutely magnetic. Everyone, you know, wants to be around her, and she's just got it. And so, you know, my anxiety started kicking back up after she was born, kind of the postpartum, all of that. And I just kept thinking, just keep a stable job. Just do what you're supposed to do every day. Just stay sober. That's all you need to do, is just do what you got to do to stay sober for your family. And then I started feeling unsettled and almost, I wouldn't say unhappy, but there was something missing. And right about that time, a friend from high school presents me with this new business opportunity. And I'm thinking, okay, but I had already decided I wasn't cut out for that. You know, I needed to just work a stable job and be a mom and this and that. And then my daughter gets into cheer, and she gets into competitive cheer, and she's tiny. They want her to be a flyer. She wants to be a flyer. They go to put her up, and she lost her mind, screaming, crying, terrified. And in that moment, I went, oh my God, I did that to her. I took my once fearless child, and now she's afraid of heights. She's got anxieties, and that's me. So at that moment, it makes me cry every time. At that moment, I knew that was my sign that I couldn't tell her to be fearless. I couldn't tell her that she could do anything and go for her dreams and, you know, go big. I had to show her. I had to lead by example. So I got into this business opportunity. It was a direct marketing company that was just starting. And I really worked at it. And my friend from high school and I would do the exact, we would work together and we would do the exact same things. And she was having crazy success and I was getting crickets. And she said, one day she said to me, something's blocking you. And at first, like all the hairs stood up and I was so like, I bristled at it. I was like, oh, how dare you? You know? And then I sat on it and I thought about it and I was like, she's right. She's right. So this company had mindset as part of their programs. And so I really dove into the mindset trainings and I started listening to books on Audible when I would drive the long drive to and from work. And I just became obsessed with rewiring my mindset. And I realized all the blocks I had from childhood, from, you know, the days of alcoholism, everything were preventing me and they were sabotaging me. So I dove headfirst into all of that, and that became my passion. And that company ended up, you know, going defunct and whatever. But it served its purpose for me. I was meant to go through that so that I could find what was truly my purpose. I've gone through several iterations of being an entrepreneur, tried several different businesses, but I always came back to the same thing you learn in AA, which is, you know, go out and share your experience, strength, and hope with others. And I decided I'm going to be a coach. You know, I'm going to teach others. And I struggled with it for a while, and I'd gotten into the manifestation side of it and really started learning how to do that. And I was having success, but it was like I would have this goal, this manifestation that I wanted to manifest, and then I would get like the Temu version of that manifestation. You know, I would get like a little mini version of it, and I was like,
Great.
close, not quite. So I was like, something, I'm still missing something. Something's missing. And when I manifested our new home and we moved in, and I was so uncomfortable in this house at first. It was twice as big, so much more beautiful, in the most beautiful neighborhood, everything I had wanted. And I was so uncomfortable. I was short-tempered. I couldn't sleep. I was picking fights. I was sick. And I realized it's because you're afraid you're going to lose it. You're afraid you're going to lose it. And this doesn't feel safe to you. So I went through this process of going through every room in the house after everybody went to bed every night and just sitting in that room and doing things and just being in every space of the house until it became comfortable to me and it became home. And once I did that, things started happening. You know, I realized it, and I started manifesting money out of the craziest places. I was winning. My husband loves to scratch off lottery tickets, but I could never touch them because if I touched it, he would lose. He would win 99% of the time, but if I touched that ticket, he would lose. And I tried to warn him, but he gets me a lottery ticket one day, and I'm like, okay. And I scratch it off, and I won $50. And I was like, that's it. That's it.
Remove the block.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what I realized that shifted everything was that I needed to go back to the 12 steps. The very steps that got me sober. We always joked in AA that everybody needed to go through the 12 steps. Take alcohol out of it, everybody can use the 12 steps. So I started applying that to everything I did. And I focused on keeping my body healthy and strong. I started becoming obsessive about, you know, healthy supplements and processed foods and the poisons in the food and, you know, drinking water and everything, and just combined it all. And it was unbelievable. But the one thing that I wasn't doing was taking the big leap and leaving the full-time job and just going all in, you know, because I realized it was trauma from, you know, my alcoholism days where I would just abandon a job or, you know, whatever. I was very irresponsible, obviously. And I felt like I couldn't do that now. I have a family, you know, I have responsibilities. But God has a wicked sense of humor, and he has a way of giving you signs, and they get bigger and they get bigger and they get bigger until they finally smack you in the face and you have no choice but to listen. So the job kept getting more unbearable and more unbearable until it finally got to the point where I was breaking down and I was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't. And my husband, suddenly, you know, he was the one that was like, you can't leave your job until you have, you know, plenty of money or another job, you know, something. He was like, let's do it. He goes, I think big things are about to happen for you. I believe in you and we're going to be fine. Let's do it. Say no more. Typing up that resignation, sending it. And that was it. And everything since then has reinforced that that was exactly what I needed to do. I was terrified, and I still have those moments where I start to freak out and the old subconscious beliefs try to crop up. In AA, it's called your alcoholic mind. It tries to sneak back up and convince you. But now that I have the tools to regulate myself through it, and I'm aware of what those things are, what the beliefs are, the behaviors that it triggers, I can catch myself and I can stop it before it spirals into chaos. So here I am doing big scary things like talking on podcasts and
on day one of just full-time entrepreneurship.
Oh yeah. I don't do anything half-assed.
Nope,
if I'm gonna do
in.
it if I'm gonna go all in, if I'm gonna mess up, I am going to mess up spectacularly.
Yes.
So
yes,
here we are.
Okay, so tell me and the audience, mostly for the audience, because I am blessed to know you, what it is that you help your people through. What is the work that you now do?
I help women who are stuck in that cycle of barely enough, you know, struggling, survival, mostly, you know, entrepreneur, but basically any ambitious woman, whether it's a profession, you know, and they're trying to move up the ranks, or entrepreneurs. And they keep getting stuck in that cycle of almost and then not quite. And they've tried the strategies and they've tried, you know, different things, but they haven't tried the one thing. And that is looking at what beliefs are sabotaging you. What is it that is keeping you from moving out of the safety of your comfort zone? And if your comfort zone has become struggle, survival, living paycheck to paycheck, barely getting by or not getting by, that becomes your comfort zone. And whether it's good or bad, what you know, what you're familiar with is what you are going to go back to every single time, unless you confront the beliefs and the behaviors that are keeping you there and start to commit yourself to going outside of your comfort zone. And that takes rewiring your mind, your thoughts, and rewiring your body and your nervous system, because your nervous system is the alarm that tells your brain to start pulling you back. So it's a combination of taking care of your body, taking care and regulating your nervous system, and rewiring those thoughts all at the same time. And I think that's what so many people are missing. And I had to learn it through years and years of trying and failing and trying and failing and almost getting there and not quite. And I finally found the magic combination. And so now I use that to help others do the same.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. And
Thank
I
you.
love just how every single, I like to bring this up to my clients too all the time, of like how one situation is just, it seems so isolated, right? And we're like, I don't really know why I'm in this. And sometimes you can find meaning in it, like even just like you learning the mindset work in that other company, right? And then the company goes away. But like when you are able to connect those dots, you're like, oh my God, just mind blown. I'm like, oh, this is all the perfect recipe for
Yes.
the story and for like this beauty that I get to offer the world. And it's really nice to be able to support people while those dots are still connecting and be that proof
Yes.
of like, I've been there in the
Exactly.
chaos, in the mess, in the ups, in the way low lows, and it does get better. And the dots do actually
Exactly.
connect.
Exactly. And helping them regulate themselves through the times where it seems like everything's falling apart, and having them be able to stay strong in the faith that things are not falling apart. Things are falling together, but certain things in your life have to be removed. They have to fall away in order for the good and the better to come in. I always talk about the analogy of like the boyfriend in high school that broke up with you and you were so devastated, you thought your world was over. You know, it was just, this was the man you were going to marry. And now, you know, you look back at that guy and you're like, oh my God, I see now why that happened. Thank
No, it's
you.
thank God. No.
Exactly. Exactly. And I've had more than one of those in my life, but it's just having the faith through the dark times to know that this is a part of the plan.
I so agree that it's happening for you, not to you.
Exactly. Exactly.
What do you have going on right now that would be a beautiful invitation for people into your world?
Well, right now I am in the middle of a 2-week experience and it's called Regulated and Rich as Fuck, where basically we are learning to identify the things that are keeping you stuck in the broke girl identity and the things that the wealthy version of you would do. And when we talk about wealthy, yes, there's the money aspect, but I'm talking about wealth in every area of your life because the money is a byproduct of the happiness, the joy, the peace in the rest of your life. So it's identifying what's been holding you back, deciding you need to get rid of that, finding who that new version of you is, and regulating yourself through to really anchor that in and become that person so that then the money can show up and you can attract more happiness, more wealth, all of the good things.
I love it. And if someone is listening to this beyond your regulated and rich as fuck window, you have a free channel.
Yes, I do. Yes,
okay,
I do.
on Telegram. What's the name of your free channel?
It is Rich Bitch Energy Collective.
Love it. Love it. Okay. I'll do that in the show notes as well. Is there anything, like a little practice or anything that you would like to leave the audience with, or even like a question to ponder or anything off the top of your head?
Yes. I really feel like if you combine taking care of your body and prioritizing yourself, the rest is a lot easier to achieve. You need to ask yourself, do I see myself as worthy? Do I treat myself like the wealthy, worthy woman? Because if I'm not treating myself like that, then how am I going to expect the universe or anyone else around me to ever see me that way? You have to see yourself that way first. So always ask yourself, am I prioritizing myself? Am I treating myself like the wealthy woman I want to be? I will be.
I love that. That is beautiful. Thank you
Thank
so
you.
much. Thank you so much for being here. I'm going to share in the show notes where everyone can find you on Instagram, how they can access your free Telegram channel, and how they can hurry their asses up to get inside Regulated and Rich as Fuck before it's over.
Yes, because if I do say so, it's pretty fucking amazing.
I don't doubt it for a second. Thank you so, so much. And I can't wait to talk to you again outside of this. And thank you, everyone, for listening. We will see you on the next episode.
Thank you.